Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup. The outlook remains dangerous this morning at Fort Wayne, Indiana. Waterlogged and weary after days of rising floodwaters, with the flood crest awaited today. Frank Currier is on the scene.
The swollen Maumee River, approaching nearly 11 feet above flood stage, was a problem throughout the night. Pressure was building and leaks developing along miles of waterlogged dikes. Fear and precaution prompted police and National Guard troops to evacuate the residential neighborhoods just below the saturated dike. City Comptroller Frank Hyman compared the sandbag fortress to a mud-soaked paper towel, holding back a bathtub of swirling water.
If any of those old dikes were to break, in defiance of all the efforts we've put into this, we would essentially not have a slow-rising flood, we would have a flash flood.
Throughout the night, state authorities manned airboats and patrolled the otherwise inaccessible neighborhoods on the city's northwest side, a virtual ghost town within a city. So difficult to move around under 5 feet of water that looting, according to Dean Jenkins, has not been a problem.
There has been a few sporadic cases of it, but it's not been a serious problem as of yet.
Engineers say, depending upon the severity of thunderstorms predicted for tonight and tomorrow, the floodwaters could recede by up to a foot within 24 hours after the crest. Frank Currier, CBS News, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Southern California has had its worst storm of the year, and the California weather has caused a problem at the primary landing site for the Space Shuttle Columbia. We'll hear about that from Bruce Hall at Cape Canaveral, where the countdown for Columbia's third launch began this morning.
If all goes well, the countdown will lead to a Monday morning launch for a 7-day trip that is designed to test the shuttle's capabilities and its usefulness as a base for scientific experiments. The only problem at the moment is the weather at the prime landing area in the California desert. The lake bed at Edwards Air Force Base has been hit with several days of rain and will probably be too wet to support an emergency landing if one should become necessary. However, officials are confident that the desert lake bed will be dry before the scheduled landing on the 29th. If an emergency landing is necessary, the shuttle would be diverted to White Sands, New Mexico, although officials do not want to land there because only limited ground support services are available, and the shuttle would have to remain there several weeks before it could be properly serviced. Bruce Hall, CBS News, at the Kennedy Space Center.
NASA officials will start moving some landing equipment to White Sands tomorrow, just in case. General James Dozier testified today in Verona, Italy, at the trial of the Red Brigade's terrorists accused of kidnapping him. Larry Pintak covered the proceedings.
Dozier painted a picture of endless discomfort, but generally supported the kidnapper's story that there was no brutality. Those earphones blaring rock music were what bothered the general most. They caused permanent hearing damage, and he kept coming back to that fact again and again. But aside from that and the chains which held him to his cot, Dozier said there was no mistreatment, nor was his life ever directly threatened. The closest the brigaders came, he said, was to warn that if he wanted to get home alive, he'd better leave those earphones in place. Locked so long in his tent prison, Dozier was reluctant to believe he was safe when police burst in to free him. They were wearing masks like the kidnappers, and in the general's words, a thought flashed through my mind that perhaps this was another group interested in me. Mrs. Dozier, too, was in the courtroom to confirm a deposition given earlier to police. The effects of the months of stress were evident. She was led to the witness stand on the arm of a friend and answered questions in a weak, halting voice. Aides say that because of her condition, the general's departure for the U.S. has been moved forward and may come as early as next week. Larry Pintak, CBS News, Verona.
Nicaragua today is fuming at El Salvador. Charles Gomez has the story in Managua.
Nicaragua's Sandinista government is blaming El Salvador for an attack on a Nicaraguan Navy boat in the Gulf of Fonseca, which the Sandinistas say resulted in the death of one sailor. The Reagan administration has charged that it is by way of the Gulf that most arms shipments reach the rebels fighting in El Salvador. The Sandinistas say the recent incident is one of several attacks on Nicaraguan boats in the Gulf of Fonseca. In another case, Junta member Sergio Ramirez Mercado says a Honduran warship attacked a Nicaraguan fishing boat, killing two men. The Honduran government has denied that story. One U.S. diplomat in the region says there is no evidence that the attacks ever took place and questioned the timing of the Nicaraguan charges. In criticizing the attacks, Ramirez Mercado flatly denied that his government has approved the shipment of arms to El Salvador. Said Ramirez, "This is a charge we have never admitted to." Both incidents in the Gulf of Fonseca support the Sandinista government's contention that outside aggression justifies Nicaragua's current state of emergency. Charles Gomez, CBS News, Managua.
A House Ways and Means subcommittee holds hearings today on President Reagan's Caribbean Basin Initiative. His proposal for $350 million in emergency economic aid for that area, including $128 million for El Salvador. The members of the International Oil Cartel are gathering now in the capital of Austria, and Tom Fenton reports that they're there in a gloomy mood.
The 13 members of what was once one of the world's most powerful clubs have begun arriving in Vienna for a meeting they would rather not hold. OPEC, after pushing up world oil prices for the past 8 years, is now drowning in its own oil. Tomorrow, the oil ministers will try to salvage what is left of their price-fixing cartel by sharing out production cuts in order to reduce the glut on the world market. Saudi Arabia's Sheikh Yamani, representing the biggest OPEC producer, has said he hopes to hold the line on OPEC's $34 a barrel base price. 2 weeks ago, he worked out a tentative plan to cut back OPEC production to 18.5 million barrels a day, the lowest level since the 1960s. It's far from certain that all the oil ministers will agree to their share of the cuts. The economies of some of the OPEC countries, such as Nigeria, have been badly hit by a drastic fall in oil revenues. They are under heavy pressure, both to cut prices and increase production. Never has there been greater uncertainty surrounding an OPEC meeting. Tom Fenton, CBS News, Vienna.
2 days before leaving on an official trip to the United States, Japan's foreign minister now says that Washington, as well as Tokyo, should consider dramatic measures to improve the trade situation. Gordon Joselov has details.
Foreign Minister Yoshio Sakaguchi told a parliamentary committee that one dramatic measure the United States could take would be removing restrictions on export of Alaskan crude oil to Japan. He said this alone could slice a large amount off Japan's huge trade surplus with the United States. Sakaguchi said he would press for sale of Alaskan oil during his U.S. visit. He was apparently reacting to repeated American calls for dramatic measures on Japan's part to ease trade frictions. As for so-called reciprocity bills now before Congress, bills calling for retaliatory action against Japan's trade barriers, the foreign minister said he was not especially optimistic that such legislation can be prevented. Meanwhile, French Foreign Trade Minister Michel Joubert, in a Tokyo speech, warned that European countries could take protectionist measures against Japan within 6 months unless Europe's $10 billion trade deficit with Japan is reduced. Gordon Joseloff, CBS News, Tokyo.
Joubert is in Tokyo to prepare for a state visit by President François Mitterrand next month. The AFL-CIO's political roadshow, which opened in Detroit this week, is now moving to Louisville, Kentucky. Ike Pappas reports that the aim is the rebuilding of the Labor Federation's political arm.
Louisville will be one of seven such regional meetings scheduled for various parts of the country between now and next May as the giant Labor Federation launches an effort to rebuild its political structure left shattered after the Republican landslide which brought Ronald Reagan to the White House last year. The AFL-CIO is instructing the local union leaders in ways to use the giant American union labor force as a political tool to elect Democrats to Congress this fall. Such things as how to raise funds, how to use the media, and how to set up telephone and door-to-door campaigning, the eventual goal to lay the groundwork to defeat President Reagan or anyone else the Republicans choose to run for president in 1984. Ike Pappas, CBS News, Detroit.
The latest on the space shuttle, NASA has decided to proceed with the Monday liftoff on schedule, but bring it down 7 days later at White Sands, New Mexico, instead of Edwards Air Force Base in California. Chairman Paul Volcker of the Federal Reserve says that prompt resolution of the budget impasse on Capitol Hill is crucial to restoring confidence in the financial markets. Gold prices rallied overseas today, and the dollar is higher on most of the foreign exchanges.
CBS News. Signals have been switched for the space shuttle launch. If landing, it will come down at the White House White Sands Missile Range in New Mexico. I'm Richard C. Hautelet reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The space shuttle Columbia had been scheduled to land March 29th at Edwards Air Force Base in California's Mojave Desert. However, heavy rains have flooded the desert floor, making it dangerously soft for the touchdown. Rather than take a chance on conditions improving, NASA today decided to play it safe and designated White Sands as the prime landing site. There's a great deal more to this change than drawing a new circle on the map. NASA spokesman Sharon Wanglin outlines the massive logistics involved.
A lot of people have to go from this site to support the landing at White Sands because there's no real staff over there normally. This means transferring a lot of equipment, a lot of which will go by flatbed railway car, and it means getting equipment loaded on the cars and shipping them over there, which takes 3 days for the minimum support equipment to go. It takes about 18 days to get everything over there, but it means that everybody's going to be quite involved in getting equipment transferred over there to support the landing.
The landing is the most important, but not the only problem. After it's down, the heavy space shuttle will have to be moved back to Cape Canaveral for the fourth flight later this year. The countdown for the present third mission began early this morning, and the launch is scheduled next Monday morning. More news after this.
We'll be
Knock.
That must be the Meter Man, Charlie.
Hi, I'm Rita from Meter.
Well, hello.
I'm here to demonstrate a Meter copier.
You're the Meter Man, Rita?
Meter has over 500 dealers for fast, reliable service.
Hey, Charlie, meet Rita from Meter.
And a full line of copiers for all your business needs.
Well, Charlie, I guess we'll buy a Meter from Rita.
Full service copiers.
For more information, call your Meter dealer. We're in the Yellow Pages.
Sears cuts the price of owning a Craftsman saw. America's best-selling 10-inch radial saw is on sale now at $299.99. Save $150. The Craftsman 9-inch table saw now $199.99. Save $60. Then clean up with a Craftsman 16-gallon size wet-dry vac with attachments. It's $99.47. Save $62 based on regular separate prices. Minimum savings nationally. For Craftsman values, you can count on Sears.
As many as 9,000 residents of Fort Wayne, Indiana, are cut off from their homes as the city struggles against surging floodwaters. Lee Kelso of CBS affiliate WQHK has the latest.
The city of Fort Wayne is fighting not only rising waters, but problems with an aging system of earthen dikes built after the record-setting flood of 1913. In a heavily populated section of Fort Wayne last night, an earthen dike began to leak. It was plugged with tons of dirt, clay, and thousands of sandbags. Fort Wayne City Controller Frank Hyman.
That dike is so old and it's got so many problems over its entire length that, you know, it's conceivable that an hour from now or a day from now or maybe a year from now, the same thing could happen again. There's just no way to really predict. That's why it's so crucial for us to have the engineers and the National Guard and the fire personnel on the scene to be specifically watching every foot of that dike.
The National Weather Service predicts up to an inch of rain tomorrow, and city officials here are worried the earthen dikes may not be able to withstand the pressure much longer, likening them to a soggy paper towel. Lee Kelso for CBS News, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
President Reagan continues his rotation of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. The president announced today the appointment of General Charles Gabriel as Chief of Staff of the Air Force and Admiral James Watkins as Chief of Naval Operations. Mr. Reagan previously named Army General John Vesey to be chairman of the Joint Chiefs. Stocks and other news after this.
At a restaurant in Louisville, Kentucky, blind people don't have to ask what's on the menu. They can read it themselves in Braille. The Braille menus are there because a group of local people thought it would be a good idea. They got together and made it happen. In fact, all across America, both disabled and non-disabled people are participating in similar community programs. In Vernon Parish, Louisiana, they're modifying disabled people's homes to make them more accessible. And in Champaign, Illinois, disabled children are able to share a playground because a group of volunteers got involved. This is the National Year of Disabled Persons. Is this the year you get involved? Call the office of your mayor or county commissioner for more information. A public service on behalf of the National Office on Disability from the Ad Council and this station.
Federal Reserve Board Chairman Paul Volcker told a private business group today the White House and Congress must work out their budget differences if the economy is to recover. Budget Director David Stockman told the same group there is some hope that a bipartisan budget compromise may be near, possibly by spring. The government says personal income rose by 0.5% last month. That follows a modest increase in January, a slight decrease in December. Wall Street seemed to be reacting to good news. At this hour, the Dow Jones average is up 6.09. Volume on the big board, nearly 24 million shares. The Dow Jones Industrials, 801.94. Richard C. Hotelet, CBS News.
CBS News. President Reagan sees early signs of recovery. This is Reed Collins reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Speaking to the National Association of Manufacturers, Mr. Reagan is urging businessmen to stop haggling and get behind his economic recovery program. The president, in his advance remarks, chided businessmen, saying, "Let me be honest with you and tell you I've been a little disappointed lately with some of the business community who have forgotten that feeding more dollars to government is like feeding a stray pup. It just follows you home and sits on your doorstep asking for more." The president was preceded to the podium by his budget director, David Stockman. Deborah Potter reports.
Even though the business group already has endorsed the president's economic program, Stockman defended it anyway, saying a recovery depends on keeping the Reagan policies on track. But he suggested a willingness to compromise with the Congress on the administration's budget. In his words, "We have no choice but to ensure that the logjam is broken."
"I know at the present moment it looks a little bleak, a little dim, but I have confidence. There is the beginning of attitudes and approaches that as we move down the road in the next couple weeks will come to the surface in a solution that all parties concerned can accept."
Appearing before the same group, Federal Reserve Board Chairman Paul Volcker also was optimistic, saying that if he weren't the head of the Fed, he'd be tempted to predict that interest rates will soon be coming down. Deborah Potter, CBS News, Washington.
More news after this.
Thursday on CBS Television, you're invited to one of the biggest Hollywood parties of the year, the People's Choice Awards, the only awards for movies, music, and television that are chosen by you, the people, in a special Gallup poll. Among the nominees are Loretta Swift, Alan Alda, Tom Selleck, Burt Reynolds, Brooke Shields, Kenny Rogers, The Jeffersons, MASH, Dallas, Falcon Crest, and many more. Plus, great entertainment. Live at the 8th Annual People's Choice Awards, Thursday at 9, 8 Central and Mountain, on CBS TV.
Sports lovers, turn us on, because CBS has the most exciting sports programming in radio. Regular sportscasts with Win Elliott, Jim Kelly, Kurt Gowdy, Lynn Berman, Bill Schweitzer, Howard David, and me, Brent Musburger. Special live coverage of the big ones, NFL football, baseball's All-Star Game, the World Series, U.S. Open Tennis, Masters Golf. And you're in the right spot for all the local sports news, too. So sports lovers, turn us on and hear it here.
The third space shuttle mission landing site was changed today. NASA spokesman Hugh Harris making it official.
The decision to land at White Sands rather than Edwards Air Force Base in California came after 1.25 inches of rain fell at Edwards during the past 2 days. After a review of the situation this morning, it was determined that the dry lake bed runways are not likely to dry sufficiently for the end of mission landing.
The switch to White Sands will require shipping tons of support equipment from Edwards to White Sands. The launch is scheduled Monday. OPEC's ministers are gathered in Vienna to see what went wrong, why the world won't keep buying oil at ever-increasing prices. Many producers are urging the cartel to maintain the price of $34 a barrel. OPEC president for this round is Manas Saeed Otaiba, who hopes the ministers can agree to reduce production and thus take up the slack.
"I hope we will be able to agree on reducing the production to a level which will allow the market to absorb the surplus."
The formal meetings begin tomorrow. The Nicaraguan Defense Ministry says an army patrol fought with anti-Sandinista rebels last night close to the border with Honduras. The Nicaraguans say 11 guerrillas, 3 soldiers, were killed. This clash is reported on the heels of another Nicaraguan claim that a Salvadoran patrol boat fired on a government boat, killing one man on board. That would be the first open clash reported between those two countries. And now this.
Weekends, there's a wealth of good listening on CBS Radio.
Saturday, correspondent Fred Graham looks at the law and you, and Mike Wallace at Large talks with famous folks you'd like to know about. Lee Jordan's here in the spotlight with fascinating film reviews. And Steve Birnbaum takes you traveling to faraway places. Morley Safer's Journal comments on current events. And Charles Kuroff takes us down the byways on Dateline America. Then Sunday, there's more in store. Washington Watch with Bruce Morton. And Steve Birnbaum's back traveling with more vacation advice. Steve Scheuer's here with television watching, which is what to watch and what to watch out for in the TV week ahead. Then Mike Wallace is back with another intriguing profile. And CBS newsmen comment on a top news story on Correspondents' Corner. And to wrap it all up, there's Rob Armstrong with The World This Week. Plus, big sports doings, too, every weekend on CBS Radio. Hear it here. General Dozier testified at the Red Brigade's trial in Verona today, saying he lost some of his hearing because of the loud rock music his captors forced him to listen to. He also said that the moment he was rescued, he tried to resist one of the policemen who'd come to save him, thinking at first that he might be a member of a rival gang trying to kidnap him from the kidnappers. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Industrial Average remains ahead. The index is up 7.23 at 803.08, the volume 32.25 million shares. Reed Collins, CBS News.